All right, welcome everyone. I want to start out with you today. We're starting a new series called Encountering the Holy Spirit. And the question we want to ask is, why are we doing this? Why are we studying this? Because there's a lot of perceptions on who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does. Some people think if you are into the Holy Spirit, that people have to have physical manifestations. Some people are speaking in tongues out loud and so forth. What we want to do is look at it from the Bible, a biblical paradigm of who the Holy Spirit is. What does he do? Look at the character of the Holy Spirit, the gifting of the Holy Spirit throughout this coming months as we explore. And part of the reason we're starting this series is this. If we as a church are going to go somewhere, you can go anywhere without the work of the Holy Spirit working through you. And what we want to do is use biblical paradigm as a basis of working with the Holy Spirit and doing the work of God. Amen? So today, what we want to look at is who the Holy Spirit is. And there'll be several passages, but I'll be dwelling on two key scripture passages. One is John 14, 16. And Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." And then Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5 and 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all to the ends of the world." This is the word of the Lord, and we say,
thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, as we open up your word, may the thoughts and meditation of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. And Father, we pray that you will speak, and that, Lord, through your speaking, they'll be convicted. We will learn, we will be transformed by you and by your power. So, Lord, speak to us your word, and may we be affected by it and be the person that you created us to be from birth. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. So, as I share with you, we're going to look at about the Holy Spirit and the purpose of why we need to study this. And I said, you need to know who it is and what he does to do the work of God together. And the reason why it's so important is if you ever want to have a deep relationship with God, the Holy Spirit is what I call the experience of God. You can experience God through the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, he will give you the emotions and the experience of God in a very emotional way. And sometimes he will also visit you in a very physical way. And do not fear, because that's God expressing himself to you. But the other reason we need to understand is the Holy Spirit is the engine that drives the work of God. When we look at the book of Acts in chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, Jesus said, "Don't leave Jerusalem." Why did he say, "Don't leave Jerusalem"? I mean, the disciples were trained during half years. They were taught for 40 days by Jesus. But why did Jesus say, "Don't leave Jerusalem"? Because he knew that the disciples couldn't do the work of God, which was to evangelize the whole world and start the church on their own power. Even though they knew Jesus, even though they had the authority, he knew that they needed the power and the work of the Holy Spirit to work through the disciples to bring people into relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why Jesus told his disciples to wait. We as a church are on the verge of something. I believe God's going to do some special things here in our church. Those of you who saw our design, how we want to use this facility to reach out to people, using gathering places, but also using us, that God can use us to bring people to a relationship with God. Wouldn't you be excited having God encounters with people, that they would come accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Wouldn't you be excited that you see yourself growing? And this is a place where we can really worship God from the heart. And just the worship attracts people to know who God is, want to get intimate with God. It's all because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do is, and Pastor Dan and I and Pastor Mon going to speak over this period, is prepare us for the work that God's going to do. Because God has called us to do something amazing. Do you believe that? Something amazing. Something good's going to happen to us. Something good's going to happen to you. God's going to heal. God's going to heal brokenness in our hearts, our unforgiveness. God's going to release us from depression. God's going to release us from emotional issues. Broken relationships. Do you want that to happen? God's going to heal us from physical ailments. God's going to bring people in a very rational way, as well as a non-rational way, to a relationship with Him. God wants us to feel love. God wants to feel His compassion. God wants us to feel His peace in our life. Is that what we want? We cannot do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. And so the beginning point is we need to know, just like as you're dating someone or as you're married to someone, you get to know your spouse. Even though I'm married with my wife for 34 years, I still don't know everything about her. It's a lifetime of knowing, but because I'm knowing more and more about her, the more and more I appreciate her. Of course, she appreciates me. I'm just kidding. I do not know. But it's a process where we get to know, right? And this is the same thing about who the Holy Spirit is. So today we want to look at who is the Holy Spirit. And there's two things that we need to understand who the Holy Spirit is. First of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. Throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit has a lot of human characteristics about Him. First of all, when Jesus says the Holy Spirit, He doesn't say it. He says He. So He uses the pronoun. So He is a person. Just like humans, the Holy Spirit has a name. In the book of John, the Holy Spirit is known as the Comforter, the Encourager, the Helper. He, as a person, also speaks and leads and guides us. I mean, you ever gone on tourism? You need a guide who tells you what to do, you know, or where to go. The Holy Spirit does the same thing. And He feels like human. In fact, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom we're sealed for the day of redemption." He grieves. We can hurt the Holy Spirit. He's emotional. He's not impersonal. He is personal. And the Holy Spirit also testifies, just like us. We saw something, we can testify about this restaurant or this place, this location. He does the same thing. And who does He testify about? The Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. He can also be lied to, in that if you look at Book of Acts chapter 5, you know, Ananias and Sapphira lies to Peter, and Peter's response is, "You also lied to the Holy Spirit." And so he, like a person, can be lied to. And we think we can fool Him, but you can't, because the other part of the Holy Spirit is that He is God. He also interacts with us. You know, He speaks to us. He relates with you. He wants to be your close communion friend who comforts you, who encourages you. You know, aren't you ever lonely? Sometimes, you know, when no one's around, we get pretty lonely, don't you? I mean, during self-isolation, I feel so lonely because I'm going to talk to nobody. And it felt like I'm in prison, you know, and you want to talk to somebody. Well, the Holy Spirit's there and He's talking to you. And how do you know He's there, He's talking to you? The Bible says, "My sheep hear My voice." Jesus talks to the Holy Spirit. but also he dwells in you. If you look at 1 Corinthians 3:16, and do not know that you're the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells within you? He lives in you, he's with you, and he's your friend who's hanging out with you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. So he's a person, but also as a person, he loves. Remember, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is what? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. He manifests love to us. And in Romans chapter 8, it says that he prays for you. Isn't that a person? You know, how many guys have mom and dad pray for you? My kids have mom and dad pray for them. I got four of them. They're all out of the house. And, you know, it's comforting for my kids to know that I pray for them. And, you know, Holy Spirit prays for you. He knows what you need. He prays for you. And in this personhood, what we need to understand is that as you approach who the Holy Spirit is, we need to approach the Holy Spirit not as a power. A lot of people look at the Holy Spirit as, I want this ability to heal. I want this anointing prayer. I want this and that. And so I can exercise, you know, power. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. The way the Holy Spirit works is through a relationship, and then you'll have power. Let me make it more clearly. You know, like early on, when I experienced the Holy Spirit, I used to fly all over the world to get anointing prayer, thinking that I would get power. I remember going to Seattle to meet Archer Torre, grandson of R.A. Torre, and he ran Jesus Abbey in Korea. And I would fly to Seattle to get prayer from David Ross. Then I went to Hawaii to get prayer from Jean Darno. Then I went to Toronto to get prayer from, you know, John Arnott and Cheyenne, several others, thinking that I would have power. But that's not how you get power. If you ever want to experience power, it starts with the relationship. So the Holy Spirit is a person that you relate with. One of the pastors and theologians that I love reading about is R.A. Torrey. He was one of the first deans of Biola University in 1912. He passed away. He writes it this way. It is also the highest importance from a practical standpoint that we decide the Holy Spirit is mere some mysterious and wonderful power that we, in our weakness and ignorance, are somehow to get hold of and use, or whether the Holy Spirit is a real person, infinitely holy, infinitely wise, infinitely mighty, and infinitely tender, who's to get hold of and use us. So, are you approaching the Holy Spirit as a power whom we can use his power? You give me the power so I can do this. Or are you approaching him as a relationship? That's what he's saying. And then he continues on. If we think of the Holy Spirit, as so many do, as merely a power or influence, our constant thought will be, how can I get more of the Holy Spirit? But if we think of him in a biblical way as a divine person, our thought will instead be, how can the Holy Spirit have more of me? You see the difference? I want the Holy Spirit more so I can have power, or I want to relate with the Holy Spirit to transform me and to know him and to love him and to relate with him. And so what we need to understand is, if you ever want to know the Holy Spirit, don't approach him as power first. Approach him as a person. And what's interesting is the transition that Peter displays about the Holy Spirit of him being God is in Acts chapter 5:4. You know, after he says to Ananias and Sapphira, you lied against me, and as the Holy Spirit referenced like human, then he goes, didn't it belong to you before it was sold, that after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal that made you think doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. Now, let me give the context of Ananias and Sapphira. What had happened was Barnabas sold a plot of land and started this move of giving everything to the church and started what we call a welfare system, where the poor, you know, were given resources from the church that was as an offering. Ananias and Sapphira want to do the same. Their intention was great. But they just lied. They said, I gave everything that I sold. And so what Peter is saying is, no, you lied before me as a human and the spirit, the person of the spirit, but also you lied against God, the spirit. So let's see what I mean that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is part of what we call Trinity. This is very confusing for some of us who are new believers. What is the Trinity? I don't know how to explain it. It's so complicated. But a simpler way that I share with people about Trinity is this. I'm a pastor, I'm a father, and I'm a husband. Different roles, same attributes, but different roles. So when my wife Esther sees me, she sees me as her husband. When you see me, I'm your pastor. And when my children see me, they see me as their father. You see, I'm the same person. That's the way the Trinity is. God the Father has attributes that all the Trinity has. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit has similar attributes. So for instance, I have certain attributes. I love to wear Hawaiian shirts, okay? And I like to eat. That's an attribute, isn't it? But as a dad, I have the same attribute. As a husband, I have the same attribute. Do you see? As a pastor, the same attribute, okay? And so if you look at God, there's attributes of the Trinity, which is the same. And the Holy Spirit has these characteristics. First of all, he's omniscient, which means that he's the ultimate criterion of truth and falsity, so that his ideas are always true, infinite awareness, all-knowing. He's all-knowing. The Spirit of God knows everything. 2:10 talks about this, that he knows everything. But the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. This means that since God's power and knowledge extends to all creation, he himself is present everywhere. The Holy Spirit has the ability to be present everywhere. So you might say, how could he do that? Because he's God. Let's be very logical. I can be present everywhere, but he can. And that's why if you look at Psalms 139, it says, where can I go from thy presence, from your presence? The Holy Spirit's all over. But also their attribute of the Holy Spirit is he is powerful. He himself is not only present everywhere, he is what we call omnipotent. He's in control of himself and his creation. He has power. How does he express that? We can start out with Acts chapter 1, where Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So what do you mean power? This power we're talking about, because of your deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit, what you will experience is the power to work with God in doing the supernatural works of God, such as the Holy Spirit has empowered you to heal. You might not believe so, but he will if you allow him to work. The Holy Spirit has empowered you to cast out evil in the name of Jesus. You can't do it on your own, but in the name of Jesus, you can. The Holy Spirit has empowered you spiritual giftings. Some of you will be given, and we'll cover this much more, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ability. You know, a lot of times when we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all we think about is supernatural gifts. I can speak in tongues. I can prophesy. But the gifts we're talking about is the ability to teach, the ability to minister, the ability to even do healing, along with all these things. So when we talk about gifting, it's not just supernatural. It encompasses everything that the Holy Spirit can do through you. And so he is the power that works through you, and he's the power that will do the work of God, which is the ministry of God. And it's so powerful because if you do evangelism based on my works versus evangelism or the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a huge difference. Evangelism based on works is, how can I convince this person to come to Jesus? Evangelism based on the power of the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit is already working. God, lead me to this person and help me to see what you're doing. And you're already convicting, you're already working on this person to come to you. And that's much more powerful. I remember going to the dorms, trying to get a notch on how many times I evangelized. After I, you know, recommit to the Lord all the time as a student, it wasn't that effective. After I found the Holy Spirit and experienced the Holy Spirit, things happen in a very strange way where people come to the Lord. I'll give you some of the examples. I shared this with before. I lived in Hedger Crow, room 456. When I was 19, I prayed, Lord, bring three people to the Lord from room 456. They ended up coming to our church. They became Christians. How did it happen? It wasn't like, oh, I pray room 456. You don't want to freak out people that way. There was just God encounters. Some of them, you know, came for prayer and encountered the Lord in terms of knowledge that was revealed to them, like, oh, how did you know I was struggling with this and this? I said, I didn't know. This is what I heard. And the person came to the Lord. And this is how the Holy Spirit works. It's talking about the power. But also, he is God. Not only does he work in power, he is God because he's a creator. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then verse 2 says, the Spirit of God was dwelling on the surface of the waters. He's there in the creation. And in fact, when God created man, what did God say? Let us create man, us, plural. It's referring to the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus creating man in his image. Job 33:4 says this, the Spirit God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. So the Holy Spirit gives us life. But also the Holy Spirit reveals. You know who wrote the Bible? It's the Holy Spirit in cooperation with human beings. All scripture is spirit-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16, and is profitable for teaching, correction, and training in righteousness. It's God-breathed. It's God-written. And the Holy Spirit reveals through the Word of God who Jesus is, but also who God is, and everything that you need to know about God. You don't necessarily always have visions or just say, Jesus, speak. Holy Spirit, speak. Read the Word. He'll speak to you. It doesn't have to be so mystical. Read the Word every day and see what the Lord has to reveal to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals God through the Word of God. But also he reveals Jesus. Look at John 14, 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you in all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And then he also reveals the truth. John 16, verses 12 to 15, talks about, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now hear, bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me, and he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So the Holy Spirit reveals the truth. He reveals Jesus. But also, he's on this world working, proclaiming salvation. He's bringing people to a relationship. You're not the one who's converting. You know who's converting? The Holy Spirit is. And allow him to work. And because we're so different in personality, there's no one like you. Is that true? And you know, sometimes you cannot stand certain kind of people. Well, God can stand those kind of people because we're so different. The Holy Spirit works in many different ways to bring people into relationship with him. Is that an amen? And he works in that way. But also he convicts. He convicts us of our sinfulness. And he enables people to work. This is the Holy Spirit. And because he's God, he can transform you. the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and this is my prayer for us, the end result, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Would you like to have love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? I think we all want that, amen? That works when the Holy Spirit works in your life to develop character, to transform you. You cannot be transformed on your own. You need the power of God. So what is the implications about this? The Holy Spirit is human, a person, and God. How does this apply to me? From a personal level, when you know that you approach Holy Spirit as a relationship, what happens is you will grow in an intimate knowledge of who the Holy Spirit is. You will also experience the Holy Spirit in a very personal way. And you will also, through this, experience His godliness, the God part of the Holy Spirit, in experiencing His power, transforming you, in experiencing His healing, things that people cannot change. It's only Him. I remember one of my friends in seminary, you know, he has been getting visions all the time while in seminary. And it's unusual to talk about spirituality in the seminary that I went to because it's all academic, everything's so rational. And he told me that he had these flashbacks of a lot of pain and hurts that he experienced when he was a child from his parents. And through this experience, if you ever experience abuse in your life, the first thing is we deny it. We try to forget it. When things bad happen to us, what do? Try to forget it. It never happened, right? Well, the Holy Spirit was working and showing him flashbacks, memories of what had happened, while in counseling, going through the issues of the abuse he had experienced and trying to really release the person who abused him. He has this powerful experience. He told me vividly, very clearly what had happened. While he was sitting in the dorm in the morning, he saw this light open up, and he saw Jesus' figure, not exact face, but he knew it was Jesus, sitting next to him and saying to him, "It wasn't your fault that you were abused. I'm here to heal you." Now, people who hear that think he might need to go to a psychological institution, you know. But if you really believe, and if you're open about the Holy Spirit, He'll take you into those kind of experiences. Now, the way you can check whether it's your imagination or if it is, you know, God, really God, let's be rational. What do you have to check? The Bible. What else do you have? The Bible tells us this. If you ever experience certain kinds of imaginations or spirits that come, the Bible says, test the spirits, if it is from God or not. And in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And so if you're not really sure, it's the Holy Spirit who's encountering you in a very supernatural way, go, in the name of Jesus, stop this. Stop this. In the name of Jesus, I command you, because in the name of Jesus, you have power. So, you know, when I first received the gift of tongues, by the way, there's three types of tongues that the Bible talks about. One is spoken language that you can understand. So all of a sudden, I can speak Spanish, you know. Buenos dias, me gusta mucho, señor. You know, something like that, right? And the purpose of that known language, as I said before, is for evangelism. And the other part of speaking tongues is for prophetic utterance, where it needs a translator in the public. And then there's what we call tongues that is private prayer language. You don't know what you're praying about in detail, but you're interceding on behalf of the Holy Spirit for people. And you allow the Holy Spirit to speak. And I remember driving in my car, because when I got married with my wife, I told her, you know, I like everything about you, but don't speak in tongues in front of me, because that's a no-no. And here I am driving in the car, and I started uttering these words. It sounded like gibberish. And I said, name of Jesus, stop. And I couldn't stop. In the name of Jesus, stop. I couldn't stop. So how did I check it? The Bible talks about it. It's okay. Then I said, okay, Lord, let's let go. A lot of times when you want to see the work of God, we fear. How many guys fear of supernatural? What if Jesus came now? You could see him here. And you see this mist and the angels come. How many guys going to run away? Be honest, okay? How many guys going to run away? Like it's a ghost or something like that, right? We'll be afraid. But you see, do not fear when the Holy Spirit comes. He does this to get intimate with you, to take you to another level of intimacy. So that's on a personal level. Let's look at it on a group level. What is the implication of this? If you look at the early church on a group level, 5,000 people came to the Lord because 120 people started speaking in Spanish, in Portuguese, in Japanese, and they started, what is this language? And what they're talking about is Jesus Christ. And Peter stands up and talks about the supernatural power of God and Jesus Christ, who came to this world and died. And out of that, they're cut to the heart. Who caused them to be cut to the heart? It's the Holy Spirit. I see transformation happening. The purpose of us getting together as a church is to be relevant, not to be irrelevant. We're not here to come here on church on a regular basis to worship God. And if he didn't come, I feel guilty. So I got to come every Sunday, pay my dues. That's not what church is about. And if you're coming to church because you're feeling guilty, it's better to stay home and watch football games and basketball games. It's much better. Because what God wants is people to come to church to meet him as a group and to transform society. Because the Bible says you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the earth. And you know what? If you take that to heart, we can transform things in society for the better. Not for worse. We can bring in social service, meeting the needs of the poor and the needy. We can think about tutoring people who are less educated. We can think about race relations, how the Holy Spirit can work to accept everyone of different color. We can learn about serving in terms of meeting medical needs of people. Maybe we can be politicians that can change society. You see what I'm talking about? The church gets active, it can transform. And what the Holy Spirit needs is our cooperation to work with him. And the implication of this is immense. We have an ability to be holistic transformers. What area? The church only talks about the gospel of people coming to the Lord. Let's go more deeper than that. You can look at holistic transformation, which is not just sociological, but also personal, psychological, and norms and mores of society. We can bring the values of Christ into society and advocate it as a community. And the Lord will often work and use signs and wonders, not as an entertainment. So when I talk about signs and wonders, I'm talking about some of you will be prophesying, some of you will be healing, some of you will be casting out evil. The purpose of that is not for people to be amazed by it. The purpose of that is so that people will come to the Lord. The purpose of that is so that people can come closer with Jesus. Imagine church service, people coming together. You are coming together and you're getting healed. You never told anyone about your struggles. But the Holy Spirit revealed it. And someone, without telling anything, prays for you and you get healed. Wouldn't that be wonderful? The shame we face, we're struggling with, or eating disorders, the Holy Spirit will encounter us as a group and transform us. This is the reason why I'm teaching about the Holy Spirit so we can understand and so that we can be used by him for the work of God that is ahead of us.